Now, we talked a little bit about this last week. We were speaking with Town of Tonawanda Supervisor Joe Eminger a little bit on the Metro Rail Extension project. So I thought it would be good to pay a visit to the NFTA and hear a little bit about the project itself, because, you know, I think a lot of people have an idea what the project is, but if we were to go into specifics, maybe not so much, or we didn't know what was on the table right now, how far along it is, you know, what exactly is going on. So, you know, here to give us all those nuts and bolts, we bring on planning project manager at the NFTA, Jeff Ampelman. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Glad you can make it on.
Sure, no problem. Good morning.
All right. So, Jeff, I want to start with Metro Rail Extension. We've talked about it a number of times here on this show before, but I think it's important to maybe hit the reset button, right? Go back to square one. When we talk about the Metro Rail Extension project, what exactly are we talking about? Where would it go? Along what routes? Above ground? Underground? What are we talking about?
Sure. Yeah, so we're proposing to expand high-capacity transit from the current terminus of the Metro Rail at the University, at Buffalo South Campus, at the University Station, through the towns of Tonawanda and Amherst, through the UB North Campus, and ending just north of that near the I-990. The specific route would follow very briefly Kenmore Avenue, travel up Niagara Falls Boulevard to Maple Road, turn on Maple Road, and continue along Sweet Home Road through the UB North Campus, continuing along Audubon Parkway to the new Muirwood development right near the I-990. So there'll be 10 stations proposed, two park and rides, and it's about a 7-mile extension, which is roughly equal to the length of the existing Metro Rail line.
Okay, so basically doubling the length of the rail line right now that runs just along Main Street underground. And we are talking above ground. Is it, would that be above ground throughout the entire route, only along certain areas of this? How exactly would that work?
Sure, yeah. So obviously at the University Station, the Metro Rail is underground there now. So we would have to continue below ground very briefly until we're able to come above ground. The plan right now is to travel below ground along Kenmore Avenue, so Main Street, Kenmore Avenue area, and then come above ground just when we reach Niagara Falls Boulevard, right around Kenilworth Avenue, and then that would travel above ground for the rest of the alignment until the intersection of Maple and Sweet Home. Because of the traffic density there, we would just briefly travel underground again to avoid any traffic conflicts, but then again continue above ground for the rest of the alignment.
Avoiding travel count, is there a reason to not go, I mean, cost would be one, obviously, right? But to not have it below ground the entire way and to kind of switch back and forth, I mean, that seems kind of complicated.
No, for sure. But yeah, I mean, really the driver there is, I mean, significant cost, right? It's almost, generally the rule of thumb is that when you have a cost for running a light rail at grade, it's generally three times the cost to put it above grade. So let's say you wanted to have an elevated, and then generally 10 times the cost to tunnel or bore, right? So, I mean, that's a significant cost difference that we certainly took into consideration, and we just think it makes more sense to have it above ground through the alignment.
That is, when you say it, it's almost like comical, right? And so, oh, what's that, double the cost to put it underground? No, 10 times the cost to put it underground, to put it into perspective. A lot of the questions about this has been around Niagara Falls Boulevard and that area, right? And that would be above ground on Niagara Falls Boulevard. What exactly would that look like if you could try and kind of paint a picture for us in that area, what the end product would be?
Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, to think of the portal, you can envision what it looks like right now on Main Street where the Metro Rail line goes underground from Main Street and continues along Main Street to the University Station. That's very similar to what it would look like on Niagara Falls Boulevard. And then for the above-ground portion of the alignment, it would be center running, so it would be pretty much through the median of the roadway with two-way traffic on both sides of that alignment. We would have some space dedicated for vehicle drop-offs, delivery, snow removal, garbage, that kind of stuff. There's typical services. And then also bike lanes, continuous bike lanes throughout the corridor, and continuous sidewalks throughout the corridor, which are lacking in many parts of the roadway there.
So bike lanes, sidewalks, you'd be adding, and of course the rail right there. Would this be two trains running side by side? You know, a lot of what we see downtown right now, I'm not sure if it's still this way, you know, today, but the last time I was down there, I know there's single tracking going on because of some of the construction and different work that has to be done to the track. So there's only one train really running at a time along one track, or at least it would seem that way, you know, to somebody trying to catch the train. Would there be two along this entire new route, or just one?
No, that's correct. There would be two. It would be, have both-way traffic for the light rail. And the single tracking that we're currently experiencing, that's really only temporary, just so we can make improvements to our system and make sure that it remains reliable and safe for our riders.
Okay, so now hopefully everyone has a little bit of a picture of what we're talking about when we mention Metro Rail Extension through Town of Tonawanda, Amherst, through UB North, going along Kenmore, the Boulevard, Maple and Sweet Home, to UB North, to Audubon, 10 stations, 7 miles, basically doubling the length and extending it into the North Towns. It brings up the next big question, Jeff, and that is just simply, why?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the goal of the project really is to connect current and emerging activity centers along the existing Metro Rail line. So we're talking the Allen Medical Campus, the Downtown Business Core, the Canal Side Cobblestone Districts, and all the residential areas that are along that corridor to current and emerging activity centers in the town of Amherst and Tonawanda. And there we're talking like the Boulevard Mall, the University of Buffalo North Campus, and also commercial activity centers in between. This corridor currently has the highest concentration of people, so residents, and employment opportunities in the entire region. And that's pretty significant, right? It's a significant opportunity for us to enhance access to employment opportunities, access to health care, access to education for a significant portion of our regional population.
You know, I think a lot of people look at this project, though, and it comes into mind, all right, UB South to UB North, and this is a UB-centric idea. You've mentioned it a little bit there, but in your mind, it's not. Why not?
No, I mean, certainly the University of Buffalo is a key player in this, and with 30,000 students enrolled there, obviously, that is a significant population we need to serve. But you have to remember that there are numerous stakeholders throughout this corridor, right? We have businesses, large and small. We have our current riders, right, that ride both Metro Bus and Metro Rail. We have transit-dependent populations, including low-income folks or our disabled friends throughout the community. And those populations all benefit from this project, not just the students.
How many people do you estimate would ride this new extension in the area? Because this is the discussion, you know, kind of at the core of it that we've had a lot on this show is, all right, if they built it, you know, I'll sit here and say, well, yeah, it would be cool. I don't see myself ever taking it. I don't see myself giving up the freedom I enjoy, right, with driving my car around and, you know, I'm able to go basically wherever, not just along the route. Do you see people switching? I mean, what does the ridership look like if this extension is built?
Sure. You know, over the past 2 weeks or so, we've been conducting some outreach throughout the corridor, having drop-in listening sessions. I also spent a day riding our 34 bus, which is the Niagara Falls Boulevard bus. We're going to be at the UB North campus tomorrow, actually, to talk to students as well. And a lot of what I've been hearing from folks is that they want better access to areas not only throughout this corridor, but particularly for the students, to a way to get off of the campus and better integrate with the community. And they don't feel like they have that right now. And in talking with a lot of our riders, they would be more likely to take an extended Metro Rail if it was available to them. It's more convenient. Obviously, it runs a little bit quicker than our bus service. I think there is a lot of interest in not only our current riders, but also people that really just don't want to drive their car. I mean, as a personal rider, I ride the Metro Rail every day. I do have the ability to drive, but I choose not to because I find it more convenient. And I think a lot of people share that sentiment throughout the community.
Does the mindset shift, though? Because now we're bringing it to Amherst, Tonawanda, you know, people who likely don't have that mindset of, oh, I'll just drive to UB South and take the Metro Rail downtown if I work downtown. And really only if I work downtown, because that's where you're headed if you're from that area. That's your only option if you take the Metro Rail now. I mean, how long does it take to change that mindset from, you know, oh, I'm going to drive into work, to I'll drive to the nearest station and then take the train down?
Sure. You know, it's an interesting question, and I think our community is unique in that we don't have experience with a very robust rapid transit system, right? We have our bus service, we have the existing Metro Rail line, but it's limited, and we don't have kind of an extensive rail system or bus rapid transit, those kinds of things that other major cities do have. And I think if we could show the community that there's a lot of benefits to having that by actually doing this project, I think the mindset would shift because people would finally have an understanding of kind of what the benefits of that are and how it can improve their quality of life.
Do we need it? You know, you mentioned other major cities, and this is something we kind of mentioned a lot when we talked about the stadium construction project, which is that, you know, oh, you know, Buffalo, and they like to put Buffalo with Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Minneapolis and Cincinnati, and you mentioned all these other NFL cities, and, you know, we say Buffalo's right there. And I'm always like the one to pump the brakes and say, well, Buffalo's a lot more like Rochester than it is any of these other places that might have, you know, mass transit. Do we need that type of mass transit in Buffalo? And is there another example of a city that's actually Buffalo size, not just maybe in our minds, that has this sort of thing that operates, you know, smoothly and a lot of people use it?
Sure. You know, I think it's important that we look at rail infrastructure not simply as just a way to move people, but which is certainly a big purpose of it, but also a tool to achieve regional economic equity and sustainability goals, right? Regional planning efforts over the past several years in our community have really emphasized that if we're going to prosper as a region, it's important for us to kind of stem our urban sprawl. It's important for us to invest in already built out communities. And it's important for us to access, improve access to jobs, healthcare, and education, right? Not only for, you know, our everyday riders, but for everyone throughout the community. And light rail projects like this have been shown to directly align with those goals, promote those goals. And I think a good example that we've been kind of emulating is in Minneapolis. They recently extended some light rail infrastructure there. Again, a little bit bigger population, but similar climate. And the alignment there that was utilized connects some of their major activity centers, a mall, and airport, and also educational institutions. So I think that's a good example to emulate. But again, I think a project like this, if we think broader than just the transportation impacts, it really has a lot of far-reaching community benefits as well.
Again, you mentioned Minneapolis, and we're talking, you know, almost double the population of the city of Buffalo, right? And that's not even taking in St. Paul. Are we thinking, you know, I hate to say it because, you know, I live here, right? I've lived here my entire life. I plan to live here for the rest of my life. Are we thinking too big? Like, do we necessarily need to be thinking big all the time? Or is there a more right-sized or right-for-Buffalo approach to these things? A lot of people have mentioned, well, why not just improve the buses that we have and add more bus routes? Could that be a viable option?
Sure. You know, I would contend that why not be bold in this endeavor, right? I mean, as a region, we're trying to compete with the Pittsburghs, with the Minneapolises, right, across the country. And projects like this are of big interest to knowledge-based, creative class workers, younger folks. In speaking with the UB students over the past couple of weeks, we've heard a lot about how high-capacity transit like light rail is so important to their not only decisions of where to go to school, but then often where to reside, right? And if we're going to attract high-end employers across growth industries, which are really important for this region, investing in high-quality public transit is a key part of that formula.
You mentioned there's a few public comments, you know, events going on. We've seen a couple in the past few weeks. Where are you right now in this entire project? I mean, can we call it a project yet, or is it still in the exploratory phase, so to speak?
No, I would certainly characterize it as a project. I mean, so we are still completing our environmental review process in cooperation with the Federal Transit Administration. That's a process that we hope to wrap up this summer. We'll have release our draft environmental impact statement then for public review, and then hopefully wrap up our final environmental impact statement by the end of the calendar year. Concurrently with that, though, we've also been completing some preliminary design efforts for the project. So we've done survey work throughout the corridor, as well as now we're currently looking at track design and tunnel specifications. And our hope is to wrap that work up once the environmental review process is complete in the 2026-2027 timeframe. And it's at that point then that we hope to enter into construction. And that is about a 4 to 5 year process. So really by the end of the decade is when we're shooting for having full operations.
Right. Interesting. So 2030 would be the goal here. You know, it's a question that we're asking with the Big 33 project in Buffalo. It's certainly worth asking with this one. You kind of paint a picture of trying to be bold, right, to achieve something for long-term progress in the region. It's all a great idea. How do you balance that with concerns of the people who are actually going to be right there, impacted by it, homeowners in the area where this new rail would go? Certainly not all of them oppose of the idea, but we definitely have heard from some. How much weight do they carry in this process, and are their voices being heard?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, their voices are not only being heard, but are really being reflected in the design of this project. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to balance the opinions and the concerns of a variety of stakeholders, as I mentioned earlier in the call here. And really, at the heart of an environmental review process is to identify all the potential impacts of your project across a variety of socioeconomic and physical characteristics, right? So we're looking at air quality, noise, vibration, property impacts, a whole host of stuff. And at the end of the day, we have to come up with mitigation measures anywhere there are adverse impacts identified. And we will not receive funding for this project until we adequately address those issues. So I want to assure everyone that may have some concerns about the project that we hear them, that those concerns are being taken seriously, and that we are considering how to address them moving forward.
I'm sorry if I might have missed this before, but next chance to, you know, offer a comment to hear more. Is there a public event happening soon, or a place to put in those comments?
Sure. Yeah, so we actually just wrapped up most of our drop-in listening sessions last week. We'll be at the UB North campus near the Student Union tomorrow. And then we're going to be also at the University Rail Station on Thursday for a few hours. But there is a survey currently available that'll be open until the end of this week. It's available at our project website, nftametrotransitexpansion.com. And really the point of that survey is to not only get people's feedback on this project, but really get a better understanding of what transportation challenges they have now and what barriers they face to accessing opportunities throughout our community. And information like that will not only help inform this project, but really all of our efforts here at the NFTA.
Well, Jeff, appreciate the time this morning. Really do. And I hope we'll talk again soon.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you.